The only thing greater than experiencing a feeling of the Spirit is to take advantage of the Spirit. The employment of the Spirit of God is the chief aim of God's distribution of that Spirit. When you talk about being born again, receiving the Holy Ghost, the Bible said that Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. And probably the greatest detriment that's going on right now is that God is going to do everything externally. The reason He gave you the Holy Spirit is so, Paul said it, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And instead of praying that God would cleanse us and cause our minds to think in terms of the Spirit, we tend to think of God externally. Now, God, what I want you to do is go do this for me today and go do that. He said the power of life and death are in the tongue. And you speak purpose, power, and authority. He said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. So growing in grace and in knowledge is to enhance our power over anything or everything that would set itself against us. And so the going to the house of God, worshiping and praying, is to further educate us and empower us. And so Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. He puts it in the personal perspective. I can do it. And so Jesus, in His exoneration to us, said, I'm going to give you the power. I'll be out there doing my part. I'll set the stage. I will put everything in place. But you're going to come along, and I was the light of the world when I was here in person, but you're going to become the light of the world. People are going to look at you and say, wow, I can't believe they could walk through that trial. I can hardly sense, if that were me, I'd cave in. But those people have got a relationship with God that power is in them to perform God through their voice, through their hands, and through their actions. And so it has been the trick of the enemy to get us to think God has let us down when we sense our weakness. And that God has forsaken us because that we feel the pain or the agony of the moment. But He said, I will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so when you do a study, and so Paul was telling Timothy and his help to him in 2 Timothy, the second chapter in the 15th verse, I believe it is. You may want to check that out, but He said, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that need not be ashamed. And if you've studied the scripture at all, you understand. If you've listened, shame simply means incomplete, lacking power, lacking coverage, and vulnerable. That's what the word shame. So He said, study to show yourselves approved of God. In other words, God looking down says, we did it. I came to them, I gave them the mental capacity, I gave them the spiritual capacity, and they kicked the devil out of their house. So these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. Any thought that does not confess that Christ has come in the flesh is a demon. Don't wait for Hollywood to tell you what demons are, those little squeezy things that slide around all over. Demons are present themselves as thoughts, telling you you're not worthy, telling you you're no good, telling you you're too pitiful. I'm come to tell you, God made you in His image for a purpose. He's going to give you the power to operate in an image that He came in person, and He performed the will of the Father through that temple. And that's what He wants for you. I wish you'd tell your friend or neighbor sitting close, God's going to empower you more today. Again, we're glad to have every one of you here. That's only a prelude to more of what God's going to do through and in your life. Glad to have Brother and Sister Bridges here. What a message he preached and taught Wednesday night. Even Brother Bob Bolton was impressed. So you know when Bob Bolton's impressed, it's a good message. He told me the next day, Brother Bridges, that he enjoyed that. And I had a smile on his face this morning. He still enjoyed it. So we're looking forward to tonight. So happy to have all of you here, Brother and Sister Bridges. Of course, most of you know that Sister Tara Bridges was a part of our church, and then this guy stole her and took her north, and the rest is history. What a great job they're doing. He is leading that group of people into that city with spiritual warfare that is putting the enemy back in his place. So today we want to move further into glorify the Lord. And how many of you really honestly want to glorify God in your body? And the only way we can glorify God in our body is for His Spirit to have preeminence. Now, I want to say this, and I'll probably say it every Sunday during this teaching, because you decide how elevated you want to be. And Proverbs 18 tells us this: through desire a man separateth himself and intermeddleth unto all wisdom. Now, somebody said, well, what's the difference in knowledge and wisdom? Well, how many of you know a tomato is a fruit? Now, that's knowledge. Wisdom is, don't put it in a fruit salad. I love you too. Okay. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And we learned the first Sunday in this, and this is the third Sunday. I forgot to ask y'all if y'all got it. Did you get the message for today? Oh, yeah. Glory. We learned that obedience, Jesus learned obedience through the things He suffered. And in that obedience, suffering the deprivation of the desire of flesh, He glorified God by exalting truth instead of exalting flesh. It's a phenomenon. Now, so they that be obedient shall eat the good of the land, the Bible says. And I'm not giving you all these verses. I'm just going back over this real quickly. But obedience to a truth elevates you to the level of that truth. And the real message of oneness is simply this: that the more of His truths you can obey, the more you grow up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ in God. That gets huge. So then, through desire, a man separateth himself from flesh desires to God desires, from flesh dreams to God dreams, and then by obeying the truths line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, we grow up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. So if you want to overcome a habit, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and move into the habit of prayer, praise, worship, seeking the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you want to move away from poverty, move into the riches of His grace and glory. It's phenomenal stuff. So as we're moving into this, showing yourselves approved of God is to bring His truths to a front and center stage of your life, and people look at the hell you're going through and they see Jesus in the fire. You can reproduce the children that went into the fiery furnace because these fiery afflictions your city is experiencing can be lived through. Jesus walked through them. And so much of the time the enemy tries to get us to thinking carnally instead of spiritually. And how many of you know the hell you're going through, you can't show people? It's all right here and right here. Some of you came to this place today with a broken heart. And I can tell you before you leave here, if you'll turn that broken heart over to Him, you're going to start sensing healing. You're going to start sensing completeness because His word is greater than stitches, and it's going to pull the brokenness together, and you're going to walk out of here sensing He's alive evermore. Why don't you pray for one another right now? You may be sitting by somebody that's going through hell and say, God, let your spirit flow through me so they can sense comfort and peace and power and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now read this again. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves simply servants for His sake and your sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light. Somebody say, our hearts. I want to emphasize this, and that was the prelude, because I wanted you to know God's not going to force your enemies to be at peace with you. But as you behave as God, He's going to force the spirit of it to become superior to your enemy, and therefore they will not rule your life anymore. That's the superiority. And so He commanded the light to shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So somebody say, we have this treasure in our heart, in our mind, in our body, in our authority, in our ability, that the excellency of that power may be of the Spirit, or God, and not of us, our flesh. Yes, we are troubled on every side. How many of us going through something you've never been through before in your life? I'm one of you. I never dreamed I'd go through some of the stuff. A question one of our leading businessmen asked me this week. Had no idea that that would be asked of me. All need Jesus, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, right in the middle of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is impossible for your flesh to overcome what you're going through. So don't look in the dictionary for your answer. Find you an altar somewhere. Put yourself on that altar and sacrifice yourself to the Almighty God and say, God, not my will, but thine be done. And I don't mean say it, I mean do it. And when you do that, you're going to sense new thoughts and new glories. And all of a sudden you're going to walk out of your bedchamber or wherever it was you committed that sacrifice to God. And you're going to trample over every demon. And you're going to walk uprightly, and you're going to eschew evil. Evil is not always being an alcoholic or a drug addict or that. The Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that is in the management level of people that are already in the church. They are named as the name of Christ. So whenever you go through anywhere from Romans to Jude is management of faith in the kingdom. So when you understand how to read the Bible and where you're studying in the Bible, you know who it was written to. So persecuted, but not forsaken. He tells you right up front, this is not going to be a picnic always. But if you will eat the bread of life, you will be so sustained that that stuff will not affect your marriage. It will not affect your relationship with victory, and it will not affect your relationship with forever. How many of you, it's ever rained the day you planned a birthday party? No. He loves the people you've been praying for, and he's letting you go through a day when things don't go exactly right so you can show forth his real glory. Because you're not just going to glory in God when it's sunshiny. You're going to find a glory that when you've got trouble and hell breaking loose, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Always, somebody say always. Bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also, somebody say, the life of Jesus might be made manifest. That in that dark moment when people are expecting flesh to cave in, the Spirit rises up and says, greater is he that is in you than that darkness that you're being surrounded by. I'm going to glorify my name through your experience. They're going to see me instead of you, because the normal you would cave in and come apart and cuss and lie and cheat. But the glory of the Lord is, I've overcome the world, and now Christ liveth, not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the glory is going to shine in that dark moment, and your kids are going to look at you and say, Mama, Daddy, going to church has really made a difference. The rest of the people that go to church don't have that. Your prayer meeting has made a difference. You're fasting and seeking God. And that huge desire that separates you from carnal thoughts into spiritual thoughts, that says he is God over everything in heaven and in earth. That's not a myth. And you're not mistaken. Did you hear it? That's not a myth, and you're not mistaken. Fairly sensitive. I can tell when my wife's pleased with me, and then sometimes the other. So then death worketh in us. Would somebody tell him right now, God, I want to glorify you this week. If you've got to put me in an imposition so I can be in a position to magnify your name, I want our city to be saved. I want every people in every church to find the fullness. And I want everybody in our church for sure to find the fullness. I want my wife to seek Jesus in me. And so sometimes, husbands, you get put in a situation and your wife needs to know you've got a God. And women, sometimes God puts you in a position. That is always about bearing in our body the death of Jesus, that God can shine in that situation. Some of you have been going months in situations, and it would be easy for the enemy to whisper in your ear, it's never going to happen. And pretty much that's what happens in America right now. There's a little hope. Too much corruption, you say. I want to tell you, God is greater than every corrupt spirit in Washington, D.C. And if the church will intercede, some of you may remember, how many of you were here when Daryl Scott was here years ago, and over in the family center, did a presentation of the old days of the leadership of our country. I will never forget him showing those forms that every governor had to sign before they could even run for office, and that is, I believe in God. They could not run for office. And then they took the minutes of meetings in our national city, Washington, and they put together a drama. And this is the part I won't ever forget. William Jefferson and others were in that room, and they were in a confrontational attitude. And all of a sudden, the president took the gavel and hit the stand three times and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, how dare we try to settle such issues for our country without first seeking the face of God? This meeting is adjourned for 3 days of prayer and fasting, and then we will reconvene." And that's how our nation found a law of liberty, and our schools used to be safe, and now we have voted people in that don't believe that stuff, and that's going to have a people somewhere that care enough about what's going on, and perhaps part of that will be the UPC of Paris, Texas, that will fall on our face day after day and say, "I want to glorify your name in our city. I want to glorify your word in our community. I want to glorify your power in my home. I want to glorify you. I don't want to be incomplete. I don't want to come up shameful and lacking going to a church that preaches all power in heaven and earth is available, and me come up barely able to crawl out of the bed. No siree. It's still joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is still the light of the world, and I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm here for you, and I'm here for this city, and I'm here for this county, and I'm here for this nation. We're going to rock the devil's plans. He don't want your kids going to heaven, but he don't gonna wait till the day the rapture starts. He don't want your kids to be like Jesus. And so he do everything he can to keep your pastor from being like Jesus. I've made up my mind, Billy Trinata. Your kids and grandkids are going to have a hope, because they're going to see me go through hell, and I'm going to try my best to hang on to the nail-scarred hand. I plan that. I don't care if I have to suffer. I plan to hang on, Matt, to something that will cause your kids, those twins, are worth it. You'd pray for your pastor right now that I never get a spirit of discouragement. Don't think I hadn't been tempted. I just don't want to get it. Father, right now, I come to you while this passion burns in my soul. Give me the parameters of life. Give me a vision of this people every day I live, but not just this people, but for our whole county, for every church, for every person in leadership, in Jesus' name. So, before we move further, the Holy Ghost wants you to tell your neighbor, "I want my light to shine for you." Because the Bible says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." I want my light to shine. Find somebody and look at them eye to eye and tell them, "I want my light to encourage you. When you're going through hell, I want my light to bless you. When you can't get yourself up, I want you to remember, I went through hell last month, but thank God you smiled at me and I got up." We went through this last week, so I'm not going to spend any time with that much. But I do want to remind you, the Bible says you are as a city set on a hill, cannot be hid. Sweetheart, I want you to stand up. just can't be hid. You got a lot of beautiful things about you. The devil do anything he could to get you and I to be cast down and forget that we're not just a light to the city. Look at these beautiful people that put food on our table. There's not a time I go to prepare a sermon for you that I don't think who puts the food on my table. I'm aware God could send ravens, but he sent you instead. I'm aware of who put these clothes on my back. If you think I'm going to play games with you and your kids, you're wrong. You're not putting your tithe dollars in my back pocket. And me sit up here and just try to give you some false ticket to heaven. We got 360 ticket booths in America, according to Google, that are selling tickets to heaven. And I want you to have one that's valid when you present your body a living sacrifice at the roll call. I want you to be able to look in the eyes of Jesus and see yourself. And I want him to look into your eyes, because the eye is the candle of the body. And I want him to see himself. And I want him to say, "Eric, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You didn't make a mistake. No, you weren't able to convince everybody, but you didn't make a mistake. You're lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting unto me are going to get a reward. Don't you ever doubt it, sir. You're serving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's got a richest reward you'll ever get anywhere in this world. And I'm going to show it to you in a few minutes. I'm here to tell you Jesus is on your side. There is no more sophisticated teaching than the Word of God. I promise you, the libraries of every college together cannot equal the power that's in that Word. That Word leads from birth all the way to the graveyard and then canopies everything 360 degrees. You don't do any better. Glorifying God begins with understanding our value. I wish you'd tell the neighbor close to you, "You affect me." Some of you in more weird ways than others, but it's almost totally impossible for anybody who thinks you're the most insignificant person in this city, in this world, and this congregation today. Okay, I want you to get up and run around the church. You don't even have to say anything. He needed the exercise and we needed the moment of rest. Now I'm fixing to show you and prove to you how powerful that was and how valuable you are. How many of you made a decision if I asked you to do that, you wouldn't do it? Ann was the first one to raise her hand. We understand why there. How many of you decided you hope to God I don't ask you to do it? See, you're affected. That shows you the value of people. Most of our conversation comes off of the devaluation of somebody or the evaluation are the value. But daily we are listening and watching, and much of the time we hear ourselves say, "I just can't believe he did that. I can't believe she did that." What I'm trying to tell you, and the scholars of this world, stand up one more time, would you? Okay. I want you to count off 10 people here with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Back to here. The scholars of this world, the statisticians, tell us every day you affect 10 people directly with your life. The word gets much larger, but the statisticians of this world say you affect 10. Now, take that three levels away, and your daily life is affecting 1,000 people minimum. Now, they may curse you or they may bless you, but you're affecting them. See, we tend to think if we're affecting them, it's all a blessing. I mean, have you felt really threatened by a few people? But they affected you. That's what he's talking about. The statisticians are telling us. Now, the Bible says, by spirit, you can put 1,000 to flight and 2 can put 10,000. The devils are afraid of that name. And when you walk uprightly and eschew evil, it's not about pleasing the rest of the church. It's about study to show yourself approved of God, that you never have to be incomplete or shamed by defeat. If I've helped you, would you praise his name? Because I promise you, he's in the house. There is such a deep move of the river of life. You can buy a nice burial. No matter how big your house is, how recent or big your car is, or how huge your bank account is, the grave is still going to be the same size. I found that on the internet. That's not some thing God just showed me in the midnight hour. I looked it up on Google. But I did write as the Lord spoke to me. You cannot buy a resurrection. He bought that for you. It may be worth it, Brother Bristow, to hang on a few more years. How old are you now, 90? Since evangelistic days, him and his wife have fed me, and they just won't quit. He bought you a place in heaven, in the glory world. It may not be that bad of an idea to serve the Lord with gladness, understanding you can't provide a way out of a grave. You can buy a pretty nice spot, and you can buy a pretty nice group, but they can't get you out of that thing. But Stephanie, I see you helping me. He's got you a spot already bought. And the Lord, having provided for us a better world, is not ashamed to be called God. He's not going to be incomplete. He is just as much in control beyond the grave, Sister Donna, as he is this side of the grave. The thing you want to do is enter that grave in him. And they that are in him, when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So will we ever. It's a forever deal. You can't buy that. You may be a doctor, and you may be able to heal people's colds, and you may be able to stuff a lot of good medicine down them, but you can't get them out of the grave. But he can. So I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to thank everybody in the world for helping me get through this world. But I'm going to praise him every day, because he said, I love praise, and I'm a jealous God. He made no bones about it. I will be a jealous God, and I was a jealous God, and I will forever be a jealous God. I don't want you loving any other God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't even know your name, but we're glad you're here. If y'all have seen that kid 2 years old, you'll understand why I'm affected by this fabulous family. We're glad. I want to tell you, Mother. I want to tell you, Daddy. I want to tell you, Grandma. You hang on to that nail-scarred hand. Don't you let anything emancipate you from it, tear you loose from it. Hold fast to the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and hang on with all you got. Because this thing, this heaven, this earth, is about to spin off of its axis. But he can get you out of the grave. We've all enjoyed some good days, years. However, if you have an inclination toward being more like Christ, get ready, because your redemption is drawing nigh. And it means many prophecies of light Empowerment. I wish somebody say empowerment. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, get ready. More glory's coming your way. But you got to be hungry for it. You got to have a desire for it, because you won't separate yourself from this world unless you have a strong desire. It's through desire a man separateth himself. You. Let's see. I need some help. Does anybody want to volunteer? I hate volunteering people, but would you come? Now, the Lord gave me this just recently through Brother Leverton's death. I want you to stand right there. The wind's blowing with you. The wind of every doctrine is blowing. It's all kind of feelings that are trying to get you away from your moorings. Now, turn around here for a minute. Somebody say, lean not on your own understanding. I want you to... Just keep your feet right there, and I want you to lean on the everlasting arms. I'm just for a few seconds going to pretend to be Jesus. Lean. Oh, good God Almighty. I didn't mean cyclone it, man. But God's ready. That's what it means to lean on the Lord. Don't lean on your understanding, because I'm telling you, your understanding is going to be shaken by the things that are going to happen in the community of so-called religious situations. Some of you have already been shaken. But God is ready. The cross is still in place. Come unto me. The resurrection is still in place. Come unto me. Now, I want you to lean back over there on that. For a few minutes, I want this bench to represent knowledge. There's a lot of beauty and a lot of strength in knowing. But if it excludes Christ, I promise you it's fixing to burn up. We're already seeing the deterioration of what we call the smart people in the ability to hold America together. Those guys are not dummies. Don't you think for one minute, man, they didn't accumulate millions of dollars and multi-millions of dollars because they're dummies. They are smart people. And they have built empires. But I promise you, this cannot stand the vibrations of hell that are about to split this earth wide open. This heaven and this earth shall pass away. Now, he put prophecy in the Bible for a reason, so you could prove him. He wants to approve you, but you can prove him. And so he gives us the history of the prophecy concerning the Christ. If you get too tired, you can sit down for a minute. We can get back there. He gives us the history unto us. A child will be born. Unto us a son will be given. Unto us. And that's over 2,000 years ago. Now, the prophecy lived for almost 4,000 years based on Romans 5:14. When he created Adam in the garden, he created him in the similitude of him that was to come. That is where Romans 5:14 dates all this way back to the Garden of Eden, when God first made man in his own image. And that prophecy was already in place. And here's the story. It took 4,000 years to produce Christ. That's huge. But he did it in spite of 4,000 years. Rest yourself just a minute. In spite of 4,000 years of doubts and fears if that would happen, all of a sudden in Bethlehem, there was a baby born, and his name was Jesus. And he crawled out of that crib and found himself a cross, and he died, and they buried him, and he rose again. And Paul said, let me tell you this about prophecy. If Christ was not raised from the dead, your faith is empty and vain. But if Christ got out of that graveyard, I promise you he's coming back again, and he's bringing all the angels of heaven, and he's going to change your mortal body into an immortal body likened unto his. That's worth studying life over. That's worth following over. So he said, don't lean on your understanding, because we are the most fickle thing in the world. One day we're madly in love with our husband or wife, and the next day, one day you like the guy at the bank, and the next guy, he wouldn't give me a loan. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on the blood for cleansing. Lean on the word for stability. And lean on the spirit for resurrection. Trust in the Lord. I'm going to show it to you one more time. Stand up again. Do you feel my presence? Any two men standing this close to each other, I assure you, they feel his presence. I'm trying to help you not get deceived. Because when he leaves here, all he's going to remember is a feeling. Nothing changed in his life. But if he follows me, as many as are led by the Spirit, you're feeling. As many as are led by the Spirit, you are going to go out different than when you came in. And you can walk about and brag and everybody and say, hey, boy, we had a real move of God today. And they ought to ask you, well, what happened to change you? Because if nothing changed, it's not real probable that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be changed. I can assure you today that if you will let that spirit that gets a hold of you today go home with you, or you'll go home with it. Don't let it get loose. That in your dissertation or your present rebellious kid, felt the presence but didn't give in to it, that's considered rebellion in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, you can shout and run the aisles and dance all you want to, and you can do that drunk, or you can do it when the Spirit's moving. But that don't mean your mind's been transformed by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to preach no junk to you. I'm going to preach the bread of life that's going to put spizzorinctum in your toes and your nose. You're going to smell sin. You're going to smell the devil. You're going to sense the devil, and you're not carrying your soul into hellish places. Because this desire is going to grip you. I want to be like Jesus. I want to dog his footsteps. I want everything. And I don't want his presence to depart from me. So his presence emanates from his word. So I'm going to just trust his word. Because the words that Jesus said this, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So when you do Psalms 1, 1 through 3, you didn't hear Josh. He said, ooh. God, we going somewhere today. Watch this. Somebody say meditation. If you meditate on the carnal world, you squeeze the spirit of the world in your life. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And he said, if you will meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, you will squeeze glory into your head, into your mind, into your actions. If you'll meditate, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and your leaf will not wither, and you'll bring forth fruit in your season. And it is seasonal that we produce, but I promise you the seasons are regular if you trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. I won't somebody to preach Jesus to me. I want somebody to live Jesus in front of me. And I want somebody to tell me the effect of walking uprightly before the Lord, because the fruit comes. And you can tell what you've been squeezing on when you listen to yourself. Saved by hope. Rivers of hope. Is it already 11 o'clock? Good gracious. Somebody say rivers of hope. Somebody say saved by hope. That's one of the first things the devil's going to try to take from you when he comes to finish destroying America. When he's trying to destroy your home, the first thing he's just pretty much going to reach for is to tell you there's no rational reason. And you look at him and you tell him, devil, I never have gone by rational reason. I've gone by the reason of the cross. I've gone by the reason of the resurrection. I've gone by the reason of the everlasting word that has lasted not only 4,000 years, but now 6,000 years. And the word says he's about to reap off of the whole earth those that are in him, those that died in him. And he's fixing to wake up the graveyard. And guess who wants to be here? I don't want to go by myself. I want to take you, Mama. I want to take you, Daddy. But I don't want to take you by yourself. I want to preach to you until you are such a light to your great-grandkids. They look at you and say, he's not just a memory. I'm telling you, he was a light. He was a wisdom. He was a glory. And I will not follow hell's crowd, because the crowd of the Christ is the only ones that found the glory of that resurrection. The rest of them saw him. The Bible says that when he rose up, why stand ye here gazing into the skies? Watch this now. This same Jesus whom you have seen go away. Is coming just like he left. The sad part is the people are all going to see him come, Eric. Just like you see the cloud. And you see what the wind is doing. He said he's coming in like manner. I don't care how many times a lie has been told, it don't make it the truth. Doesn't matter that people are nice. There's a lot of nice people. Now I want you to hold on to the money again. Lean on that money. And we can all, the only reason I'm picking on money is because that's the thing we all can understand. It can buy houses, it can buy cars. You can be in love with your car. You can trust in your car. You can trust in what you hold. You can trust in all of your holdings. You can trust in your knowledge. You can trust in all of your wisdom from the earth. Now watch what Jesus does. Is there a little bitty baby in the house? Yeah. Oh, Cohen's asleep, isn't he? We sure don't want to wake him up. Oh, anybody can pretend to be a baby. Oh, Phil, thank you, Brother Phil. This baby's now 2 years old, but it hadn't learned to walk. Hadn't learned to walk. Sit down on that. Yeah, there you go. Come to Daddy. And so it does the best it can. Now stand up and walk. No, come to Daddy. You're going to fall a lot of times trying to live godly. Here's what Jesus said, and sometimes we look at it as if it's something real simple. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden and burdened down with care. You got too much stuff on you to walk by yourself. So come unto me. Reach out to me now. The only way you can reach is by faith. And then the knowledge of the word gives you. And then all of a sudden you start. And you can stand up now, Brother Matt, and go be seated. We got a new candidate. So then you're trusting in all of this. The world, the stuff, the things. And Jesus is saying, don't trust in horses, and don't trust in chariots, and don't trust in the cool things of this world. Trust in me, because if you trust in me, I'm going to lead you. If you'll follow my tracks, slowly maybe they are, and maybe he gets a little ahead of you. But looking unto Jesus, the author of this whole operation, and the finisher of this whole operation, and he is able to succor thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to raise thee up. He is able. Somebody say, he is able. And that's how come I shout and I dance and I praise his name. You're not going to stop me from dancing and praising his name. He's already done almost every bit of that. I'm telling you, I can dance and shout and I don't have to have music. I can dance and shout on the head of the devil, because all I got to have is the Holy Ghost. These men are not drunk with wine as you suppose. This is that. This is the glory. This is the power. This is the resurrection. Come alive in the life of the people. Musicians, come. There's just no way to finish this thing. I think it's going to take us the rest of the year. But I'm not going to kill you. Let me say this. Getting in on this, he made it very clear and very simple. Except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter all this stuff. Because you're transformed by obedience to the death, the burial, and the resurrection. When you go to Calvary and you die out to yourself, the Spirit that we talked about a while ago leads you to where Jesus did his big work. And there he crucified the flesh. And all of that stuff died. And then he was buried. But somebody say, he didn't stay in the grave. And we're not going to carry you in the water and drop you till you say tithe. I heard one guy say that his movement, they baptize you this way. They take you to the water. They hold you under till you say tithing. And then they lift you out. It's a very spiritual experience, and it's all by faith that you repent and you tell Jesus, I'm so sorry. I found out I was negligible, and in my flesh was nothing good, and I want to change my life. I don't want to trust in this horrible flesh anymore. I'm going to trust in you. So I'm going to repent. And then I'm going to be baptized in your name, because Acts 4 and 12 says it so clear. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm going to be baptized just like they were in the book of Acts. That whole book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is where you engage, where you develop your faith. The book of Acts is where you engage your faith. Romans through Jude is where you manage your faith. I can tell you, you can set your car in the driveway and race up the engine of faith all you want to. But till you put your faith in gear, faith without works is dead. And you can go forward and backward and impress the neighbors. But you're not going anywhere till you learn to get a steering wheel on your faith. And those Romans through Jude teaches you the troubles that came to people after they were born again. So being born again doesn't mean that all of a sudden, because you have all power, that you're going to operate in that power. And so that's why you need a pastor, Brother Randy, that says, quit cussing your wife. Have you figured out you can cuss without absolutely using curse words? You can damn her by saying, you idiot. Don't tell me when he does that, he won't be on the platform anymore. I see fault in you. I owe it to you. You're my sister. Let the devil have you. I see you gossiping. Mary, let me tell you something. You're far too valuable to be gossiping. This, I can pick on her because she don't do it very often. And if she ever catches herself doing it, I promise you, she'll be the first to hit her knees. She's outstripped cancer 3 times. Get her book if you hadn't read it. She has KO'd the enemy's plan for her life more times than you can imagine. And I have watched her rip hell wide open time after time when the singeing powers of fiery trials have come her way. And she stood up and she said, Pastor, all I'm asking just to pray for me. I know I'm going to make it. I just want your prayers over my life. I'm here to tell you, she's standing right now as an affirmation that cancer can't kill you before Jesus is ready for you to. Don't you let the fear of the world and fear of sickness get a hold of you. He is able to save to the uttermost. Get your faith high. And somebody say, I have hope. Because I want to tell you that the devil's after your hope. Because if he can get your hope, you'll finally give up Jesus. And the baptismal waters are ready, are almost ready. So if you want to be covered by your faith, by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission. Somebody say the removal of all your sins. A candidate for His total glory to birth in you, to come to live. That doesn't mean He's not already guiding you. The Bible said you can't even come except the Spirit draw you. So don't think for 1 minute that you have to wait to do all of this to have spiritual influence. But this is for the inner perfecting, the Holy Ghost in you. Watch this now. Somebody say, the hope of glory. That's why the enemy wants to get you to look at somebody that got the Holy Ghost talked in tongues and they're living like a beggar out yonder somewhere. You find somebody that got the Holy Ghost and they're living in victory, and that's the one you want to get your eyes on. Don't you get your eyes on some backslider that gave up their faith way years ago and they talked in tongues and ran the aisles and they quit living holy and godly and righteously. Don't you get your eyes on them. You look for somebody that's standing in the way of the Lord and they're walking uprightly, eschewing evil, and you find out, talk to them, tell them, hey, look, keep the light on, man. You're the one saving my bacon. I was down, I was out, I was down for the count, but I got to church and I saw your light, I saw your victory. I knew the hell you had been through, I knew the persecution, the destruction of hell, and I looked at you and I knew He's alive. Now He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. You can always excuse yourself, because I tell you, you'll always find somebody that quit. Don't follow the quitters. Follow the ones that have hung in there. Brother Bob, would you stand up and come? Coming this way. Brother Benny, would you testify that even though he's been knocked down a few times, he didn't give up on Jesus? Hold on, Brother Bob. I don't want him to get raptured yet. You young couples, Don't you look for somebody in our church that's struggling. You look for somebody still standing. And you'll see what God can do. Get up there behind that pulpit. How old are you? 91? How old is he, Brother Brown? 91? What? 88? He don't even look it. Got a couple of wrinkles. A couple of spots. His heart's clean. Can you sing a little of I'm on the Stairway? Just hold the music just a minute. You remember that song?
I'm on the stairway, stairway, climbing still higher each day. And when I reach the upper stair, I'll step inside the pearly gates. I'm on the stairway to heaven tonight. I'm on the stairway, stairway, climbing still higher each day. And when I reach the upper stair, I'll step inside the pearly gate. I'm on the stairway to heaven tonight.
I wish you'd go back there and hug somebody you don't even know. Go down the center aisle till you find somebody you don't know and just hug them. I want them to feel the inspiration of an 88-year-old man who has helped sacrifice and give this church a foundational future of faith. And his wife's not able to be here this morning, but I promise you if she could be, she would be, because God is able. Somebody say, God is able. God is able. He said, I'm so able I can raise up stones to cry out praises. He is able. He is able. He is able. I don't care where you are. He's able. I don't care what you're going through. He's able. All over the building, people are praying. This altar's open for somebody that you may want a renewing of the Spirit. Maybe you've never had the Holy Ghost and you'd like to make a turn and your faith has risen. Maybe you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you be sure and tell somebody that comes to pray with you. I'm asking some of you to help join them, if nothing more than just to help create an atmosphere where they can touch the hem of his garment. I promise you, every one of you that came to this house, going to feel renewed inspiration this week. You're going to feel renewed inspiration about your commitment to this Christ who's going to glorify himself through your life. Don't you discount yourself because you're not perfect yet. I promise you from the pulpit, I'm not there yet, but I'm striving for the mastery. Pressing toward the mark. All over the building. Could we make it one simultaneous prayer for about the next 2 or 3 minutes? Hear us, Jesus. Our city's desperate.
Holy Spirit.
Our world is desperate.
To your heart,
the heat of revival burn in the second largest parish in the world.